SFP Now.
Hello and welcome to a very, very special episode of SFP. Now, we're kind of crossing over this week with the guys from Super Geeked Up. So I'd like to welcome Jeff Burns, Nicole Wright and Tonya Dodds to the show. How are you guys doing?
Hey. Awesome.
Hey.
Good.
Hey.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I got all your names right too, so I'm really impressed with that.
Absolutely.
Super impressive.
So, you know, obviously I've been watching your shows for a while and, you know, I was even on one of your shows a few weeks back and we had a lot of fun. So I kind of figured I'd ask you guys to come on here so we could break even and ask you guys a few probing questions about how it all got going for you. So, you know, first off...
We love probing questions.
I shall
save the nano probes to later. Okay, well, first off is my first question for you all is what web series were you pretty much all known for before you kind of joined forces on Super Geeked Up?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a really great question.
Well, Jeff, you want to kick things off?
What web series were we known for before Super Geeked Up?
Yep.
Not known to many people. I actually am the one who did The Guild, not Felicia Day.
Oh my gosh.
I actually just dressed like Felicia Day. Well, that part's true. I do that a lot, actually, just in my personal life.
That kind of explains the bromance between you and Matt.
Hello?
Yes. okay, so no, not The Guild, but The Guild's awesome. The show I was known for is a show called Super Knocked Up, which actually we're super geeked up on off of. And that is a comedy about a female supervillain who gets knocked up by her superhero nemesis. And we did two really fun seasons of that, and people can check that out actually on the same YouTube for Super Geeked Up, which is youtube.com/supergeekedup. And yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Okay, well, I've actually seen the first couple of episodes of that. And, you know, I've not got around to watching the rest of it, but what I did see of it was really enjoyable.
Awesome. Now go watch the rest.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, I do want to watch the rest. It's just so like we never get time to watch all this great stuff that's on online. You know, it's incredible.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah.
There's a lot of really amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we discover something new every week. It's impossible to stay up to date.
Yeah. Well, I'm still watching The Musketeers. I mean, I've kind of watched the first five episodes of that Musketeers web series, and I know that I've got probably one or two more to go.
Told me about that one. I gotta watch that.
Yeah,
it looks awesome.
It's a pretty good show. It's a very, very different to what you'd expect, which is like, you know, one reasons we watch all these things, and I suppose it's one reasons people make them as well, you know, because they want to put a different spin on things. So Nicole, Tonya, what web series were you guys known for before you joined forces with Jeff?
Well I directed a few episodes of something called Progress, and it is a steampunk series, and I directed the first three episodes, and that was what I did first. And then around the time where I started on Super Geeked Up, I worked on a spinoff of that called Ask a Cam Harlot. So it's in the same realm. It was like a steampunk series.
Cool. Steampunk's a genre I'd like to see more of.
Yeah, totally.
You know. And Tonya, what did you what was you up to before Super Geeked Up?
So I worked on a number of Toronto web series, but more sort of behind the scenes. But when I first started Super Geeked Up, I was involved with a series called Asset that I acted in. That is about a regular Canadian guy who was unknowingly recruited by the CIA to take down a arms dealer.
That sounds like a typical day in my life.
Your life is way more exciting than mine.
I wish, you know, it's all like it's usual domestic bliss, you know, carrying the cat to the vet and back and forth and stuff like that. But, you know, but next one is Super Geeked Up. To me, it seems like it's pretty unique, as in there don't seem to be anything else like it out there on YouTube. So where did the idea for the show come from?
First off, that's one probably the best compliment we've gotten, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Let's put that on our website, that quote. And yep. So, like I mentioned before, it actually kind of spun off of my series Super Knocked Up, where initially it was just a way for me and my two lead actors to do like this weekly hangout online where our fans could get to know us better. And I was very big on like them getting to know us as people rather than just maybe the roles the actors are playing. And I think if people connect with the people in front and also behind the camera, like, you know, it's a much stronger bond and makes for a better fan experience. And I think they'll want to, you know, support you and check you out more. So that's where the idea came from. And we started doing that. And then it really just became its own thing because Super Knocked Up is over now, but we've been doing Super Geeked Up ever since then. It's actually almost 3 years. 3 years, like at the sometime in November, I think the end of November.
We'll have to figure that out. What day that is.
Shit, yes, we do. We got to do something special. And yeah, so, you know, it just became this geeky. So it's an interesting hybrid of, I don't know, like, you know, a pop culture talk game show type thing where, you know, we talk different geeky, weird geeky topics like, you know, what superhero you want to have sex with and who's your favorite.
You always use that as like a go-to example. There's so many other examples.
Well, I'm about to say another example before you interrupted me. And number two, I haven't used that example in a long time, I feel, so I brought it back.
All right.
Anyway, or like, who's your favorite kick-ass heroine and stuff like that. Anyway, and then we play goofy geeky games like where we character cage match where we pick two fictional characters and we have to argue who would win in a battle, and geeky accents where we have to do like crazy accents with characters. So, you know, it's all right, and it's all, we're terrible at them, but that's why it's fun. So it's basically it's really just us creating a fun atmosphere, and we have guests on every week. Like Ian said, you were on recently, mainly from the web series world, but all over the different places, film, TV, comic book. You know, yeah. So it's really become just, I think what we do very well is just create a fun atmosphere, and where we're just all having fun with the guests, and I think the people watching see that as well.
Yeah, and we're really good at embarrassing ourselves, and we like to like make it more every week. So every week, I think we try to outdo ourselves in how we can be embarrassing.
And Nicole
pretty much
is the master of finding ways to embarrass us even more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love trying to. Yeah, it seems like a good idea at first, and then when it comes time to implement that game or segment, I want to back out. It's like, why did I choose this? Why did we think of this? This is scary and embarrassing, mm-hmm. but it's fun.
Who makes up the games?
Oh, we all do.
We all do.
Yeah, they were. So what games have you had on it? Because obviously it's leave your message after the beep. I can't do that.
I can't
get that high anymore.
Let's see, there's Geeks Say What, where it's basically where we take two famous quotes from different characters and mash them together, and then the teams have to guess what two characters are being quoted. And then we have 3-second movies, which actually I think we borrowed that from
Limited Release.
And that's basically where teams are given lists of movies and then they have to describe those movies in under 3 seconds for their teammates to guess. And do you guys want to...
Hey, Tanya, what's your favorite?
Geeky Audition is my favorite, which basically we give our guests characters and they're auditioning for those characters in a scenario, and it's all improv. And it's basically a way for me to live out my fantasy of being a casting director for all of the hours I have spent in audition rooms.
Yeah, cool. Many of the games definitely are improv, which always makes it zany and a lot of fun. And A game you played, Ian, actually was called Tangent Tales, which we're going to be doing this next show, actually. We're doing actually a special Back to the Future theme because it's the actual day in Back to the Future 2.
Oh my god, right? I love those movies.
Yeah, oh, they're some of my favorites of all time. So because it's the day he actually traveled to in Back to the Future 2, we're doing a special Back to the Future theme, and we're going to do a Tangent Tales based off of time travel. And that's a game where somebody starts a story, and then each person has to continue the story. And so each person continues in whatever crazy way they want to go with it. And this time, I'm going to work in where people have to time travel to a different era every time they get past the story. You didn't even know that, Tanya. So surprise! No. Nicole and I can talk. But now you have a heads up, at least.
Okay, what would you say have been the highlights thus far for you are on Super Geeked Up?
For me, one of the highlights definitely is when Nicole and Tanya came on.
There you go, guys.
Even though they gave me shit earlier, I'm going to say that.
It's partly your job.
Yeah, no, I know. Absolutely. I had some awesome co-hosts beforehand, so I had super fun with them. But I don't know. I think the show really, is what it is today because of them and the three of us. When it was the three of us doing it, we've been doing it for, a year and a half now altogether.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really felt like this is what the show is supposed to be and where we really hit our groove. And, it's just been awesome. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Nicole?
Oh, well, this whole experience has been amazing, and I'm so thankful that I'm part of it. I think aside from being able to hang out with Jeff and Tanya every week, and they're some of my best friends, it's just really cool to be able to connect with people all over the world and just being able to share just personal experiences and things that we all connect with. It's just, I don't really even know how to describe it because it's just so mind-blowing that I get to make friends on the other side of the world or the other side of the United States, and I get to hang out with them every week, and that was just really fun.
Cool. Well, I enjoyed spending time with you guys that evening, even though I was on my iPad and I was having trouble holding it still for that long.
Right. Obviously, you were the highlight for the whole show.
Yeah.
What, my shaky camera?
Yeah. One other highlight is we had Carrie Preston on the show. Carrie Preston is in True Blood and The Good Wife and all that cool stuff. And she was awesome. But then she's married to Michael Emerson, who is the star of Person of Interest, and he's been on Lost. And she just pulled him in randomly to the show. And that was totally unexpected. So that was pretty awesome. And that just happened.
That sounds awesome.
Was great.
That sounds like, I'm going to have to look for that episode now, because I love Michael Emerson. I'm a big Person of Interest fan.
Oh, it's great. I'm so behind, but it's great.
Mm. Well, I'm about a year behind, so you're probably a bit more ahead of me.
No, I'm not. I'm a little bit over a year behind.
Okay. You've all done web series before you did this. So what would you say you've learned, through the combination of having done Super Geeked Up and your work on web series? What have you learned from it?
I think for me, I'm always amazed at the constant level of creativity of people. You think you would run into the same idea over and over again when you're meeting new guests every week? But every show is so different and so amazing that I'm constantly surprised at, who thought of that? That's so cool. And having been in web series as well, it's amazing to see how different series are across the world. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I have to agree with that, because just even being part of the International Academy of Web Television, I've become exposed to all these different series from all these different countries. Some of my favorite series are actually subtitled in English, and it's just interesting to see how creative everybody is and how inspired and passionate and how just, welcoming. I feel like everyone's so welcoming of each other, and I think that the welcoming environment really inspires people to be better and to even work on other people's shows. I don't know if that's necessarily something like a learning thing, because I realize I'm not completely answering your question in the right way, but I know it's kind of a tangent, but I think I just learned how really welcoming the web series community is and how much more you want to keep getting involved just because of how great everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I can relate to you there. I mean, I've been learning to play guitar for the past 3 years, and I've only really been playing with other people for the past year. And just playing with other people, playing music with other people, just makes me want to, you know, improve and get better. But it's also those people being so accommodating and so friendly and helpful. It just sort of like helps you get better. It kind of helps you lift your game. If I think that's kind of what you're trying to say, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you know, as you've all worked on web series and stuff like that, what advice would you have for anyone wishing to sort of like set up their own web series? And what would you say the pitfalls are that you'd want to make them aware of?
Find a team of people that are really, you really trust and are very comfortable working with. I think one of the most important things is you got to have people around you that you know you can count on and are 100% going to have your back. Because in any kind of film, I don't care if it's web, TV, film, whatever, no matter how well you plan, and anybody who's done this can attest to this, there's going to be shit that comes up. I'm assuming I can swear. Sorry, I just did that. there's going to be stuff that comes up and that you're not going to be prepared for. And if you have a group of people who are with you and, you know, are willing to get your back and are going to help you work through it, that's awesome. You can get through anything. And you have a bunch of people who are at the first sign of trouble are going to start complaining and kind of be pains in the asses. That's going to make a very unpleasant experience. Mm-hmm. And part of that is trial and error, to be honest with you. You're going to start working with people and you're going to find the people you want to start keep working with and other people that, you know, you wish them well, but you're not going to want to work with them ever again. And that's okay. That's just the way it is, you know?
Does it just help just to sell them to fuck off?
Well, that's always the way I do it.
Liar.
Yeah, that's a total liar. I actually never do it that way.
You're like the most diplomatic person we know.
Oh, thank you.
There's a reason why I call you Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, shit, you do. That's right. That's the nice compliment you ever given me. Jean-Luc Picard. Thanks. All right, I'll shut up now.
I think my biggest piece of advice, everything that Jeff said, I'm adding on to his statement. No matter what you decide to do, whether it's a web series, film, TV, a play, I don't care, it's going to be scary, you're going to be terrified, you're going to panic constantly, but at the end of the day, just do it. It doesn't make a difference, just do it. Don't be scared.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Engage.
Yeah, I agree with what both Jeff and Tanya said, and I think the one thing to be aware of is, it's kind of weird because it's going to be both a positive and a negative thing, I guess, is that in web series, there really isn't a lot of financing available, whereas you might be able to get grants for like a film. Web series is still, you know, newer, and because investors don't really see ways to make, like, get the return on their investment so quickly, it's a little bit harder to get a lot of financing. However, it doesn't mean you still can't make an amazing show on a really small budget, especially if you have a great group of people who just want to volunteer and really just put their all, you know what I mean, because they believe in the project. So it's definitely hard because there really isn't, and most of us in web series, we work a bajillion jobs and we finance our own art. And that's a lot of artists too, a lot of independent artists. But just, you know, keep in mind that if you really care about it, you can make it happen. But it's probably going to be a lot of your own money at first, unless you're able to find a sponsor. And some people are very successful with that. So that's, you know, something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. And start your marketing and social media stuff way earlier than you probably think you need to.
Yeah.
So, like, for Super Knocked Up, I started that a year and a half before I ever released the show. And so, I mean, I don't think it ever hurts to get a Facebook page up, get a Twitter up, start whatever, talking about the series, releasing, I don't know, concept art or whatever, you know, anything you have. I started traveling around to Comic Cons even before. I had postcards made up just with images to start promoting the show and stuff like that. So the earlier the better, I think. I don't think it ever hurt to start that really early.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's a great suggestion.
Start your audience as early as possible. It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Nicole's already touched on one of the other questions I had, and I was just going to ask you how you go about monetizing these things. Because, I mean, you can have Google Ads and stuff like that on your websites or on your YouTube accounts to your blue in the face. But, you know, you're going to have to make about a million impressions before you can even make a book. So
yeah. can I jump in on this one, guys?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you're right. Doing ads is challenging, and we all know that some of the bigger websites that people put content up may not pay you all that well. Like Nicole said, it's very hard to monetize a web series just because people don't know how to do that yet. That said, there is a growing part of this industry that's moving into subscription video on demand. So much like Netflix, where you pay a monthly fee for X amount of content, that is a definite growing part of this industry. So putting online series into a subscription-based service and people pay X amount per month and then you get paid on that. Is it profitable yet? ? But that is something that it's moving into right now.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a site called JTS.TV that actually all of our series are on, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Super geeked up. And that's a subscription-based service. I think it's like $3.99 a month or something.
I think so, yeah. Not much.
Yeah, and you can get access to all these. It's mostly web series, but I think they moved a little bit into like films and other stuff. But so many web series, and they're all really, it's awesome stuff. It's all curated, you know, so I don't have anything. So tons of content out there that you can get. So that's an example of what Tanya's talking about. They're starting to do that.
Yeah,
I'd love to figure out the monetary stuff because, you know, I've been running the website for years, which is, you know, much different to a web series because it's just a load of boring writing. but, you know, it's sort of like when I set it up back in 2001, the last thing that was on my mind was monetizing. Whereas as it's gone on and it's cost more as years have gone on, you know, I'd kind of love to monetize it a little bit and make a bit of money off the adverts, but we kind of make squats. So I'd love to know what we're doing wrong.
You're not doing anything wrong. It's just we're all, I think, in that boat.
Everyone's right. In that boat, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you kind of become a little bit disillusioned when you got, you know, big sites like Comic Book Resources and stuff like that that are demanding sort of like you know, quite a big amount for advertisers to advertise, and that, and apparently getting it sort of thing, and you know, we're like the little fish,
right?
You know, it's you know, it's all like it kind of I guess it's, you know, it's one of those questions that we're you know, as creative people on the web, we're all always going to be sort of like trying to find an answer for it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But it's frustrating. and I think my last question for all of you is, do you have any other web series projects coming up that you'd like to sort of like give a quick plug to? Because Jeff, I think I've seen something on Facebook from you a few weeks back.
Thank you. You saw, about a week ago, actually. You probably saw that. I was actually thrilled how many people actually saw that and liked it. That kind of blew my mind. So that was very encouraging.
Well, I hated it, so.
Oh!
I'm joking.
Everybody else is great, and that one hate was not very nice. But that's not an option, I think.
It's coming, though, I think.
Keep reading that. I don't know if they're really going to do that.
Well, no, they did a pilot project in Spain and in Italy where they added, like, they expanded the options around, like you could be more specific about what you like about a
stance. Oh, so, but you can't be like, I think this sucks, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Like, Facebook doesn't start enough arguments.
Exactly. Right.
Anyway, thank you, Ian. Yes, it's not going to be anytime soon, but I am writing a new sci-fi series called Singularity. It's set in the future. It has to do with androids. I'm sorry. I guess I won't talk too much about it right now just because I'm so early in the process. But I am excited that after doing a lot of planning and outlining, I have started this past week to write the script. And I'm about to be doing that. Pretty cool. And so that's been really exciting. And it's been way too long since I've actually writing something scripted. Mm-hmm. So that's been very... I needed that, I think, for my just creative juices. So that was... It's been good.
Okay. Do any of you other guys, Tanya, Nicole, do you guys have anything else going on at the moment?
Well, I mean, really everything I'm working on is kind of super geeked up related, I think, at the moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're really sharing a lot of this stuff right now, but I don't know. Are we waiting?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I would wait on some of our plans.
Okay, I'm going to wait, but it is super geeked up stuff that's related.
I was
going to
say it. All right,
fine. Oh, were you going to say it? Oh, I wasn't sure just because we hadn't got everything officially done yet. We should wait until we have officially, like, organized. We have stuff coming. Moral of the story is we have stuff coming up for Super Geeked Up. We're super excited about it. Stay tuned.
I think I know about one of these things, but you know, I'll sort of like I think you're wise to sort of not say nothing because you don't want to sort of jinx yourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I executive produced a film back in the spring, so we're heavily into post-production for that at the moment. And right now, my other web series involvement is a lot of people showing me ideas and asking me for opinions. That's pretty good.
You're a consultant.
I've been consulting on a lot of stuff just randomly on random questions, which is awesome. So thank you, everyone who has asked. I am flattered.
Cool.
Well, you'll be getting mine too.
Okay, cool.
you and Nicole both.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, I've got an idea for comic book / web series, but the trouble is it probably cost about 200 million to make, so
you never know.
Yeah, I'm just crap at writing dialogue. I'm great at dreaming up scenarios, but I'm really rubbish at dialogue.
I love writing dialogue. That's what I think I'm good at.
I'm terrible at dialogue.
Team up.
Okay. Well, I'll send you an email, Jeff.
I actually just write a bunch of dialogue tonight. I have no idea what your thing's about. I'll just send you a bunch of dialogue and you can just throw it in.
Yeah, no, that'll make it incredibly random.
Awesome 24-hour film challenge.
Yeah, you know, so like, let's see if we can outdo Kevin Smith.
Oh, I love Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I love Kevin Smith stuff too.
And now, last week in news.
Yeah, well, the news items I have, you know, not going to do them as news items per se, maybe just sort of like points for discussion, because I've got these few stories on the site. And don't know, did you guys see the film a couple of years back, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters?
Yes, unfortunately.
I think I did.
Mm.
No, I protested that one.
Yeah,
it's good job.
It was terrible, but it was a really good terrible, as in, you know, so like, you know.
I was so excited for that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Because Jeremy Renner, and I'm like in love with Jeremy Renner, and he's so pretty. And it was the worst. It was so bad.
I was so looking forward to it. I thought the idea was really cool.
Is that what you're agreeing with?
Well, that too. I actually, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but what I remember about it is I was really excited by the concept, and I was so excited to start watching it, and then I kind of was like, what? Wait, I was excited for this? Like, I remember being really upset, and maybe it's the thing where you get really high hopes and expectations, maybe too high of something, but it was just such a cool idea, and I think, I don't know what happened, and they just weren't able maybe to, I don't know what happened.
I don't think it's too high of expectations to expect it's not going to be total shit.
I kind of went in with really, really, really low expectations, which is probably why I enjoyed it.
I honestly, I was like, this is going to suck. I'm not going to watch it. That was actually my thoughts. I was like, nope, don't do it. Mm-hmm. So,
they're making a sequel? Is that the news?
Well, no, they were making a sequel, but they're not now. They're talking about making it into a TV series.
No, that's not. Although, I will say, there have been some films that have not been that great that have been turned into good TV series. Well, like right now, Limitless, which is a new series. Mm-hmm. So the film I felt was okay. He's pretty decent, but not great. But oh my God, I love the show. Limitless is so good. Like, it's been like 3-4 episodes, but I love it.
Wow. Did you hear that Bradley Cooper has agreed to at some point do a guest star?
He's already has. He's been twice.
Oh, has he? Oh, amazing.
He was in the pilot. He's one of the executive producers, and he's coming back soon, yeah.
Amazing. Oh, wow. I love stuff like that. That's awesome.
That's cool. So, I would say this is kind of along the same lines, but so I like young adult novels, and I read the Mortal Instruments series, and the movie was like one of the worst movies ever, and I was so disappointed. Just horrible execution, but they're making it into a TV show, which actually is going to be a lot cooler, I think. And it hasn't aired yet, but I think it's going to be really good.
Oh, and the best example is Buffy, of course.
The movie was terrible.
An amazing TV series.
Yeah, Buffy was a terrible movie, but, you know, the TV series, I kind of think it knocked it out of the park, but I wasn't really a fan.
All right, this interview's done.
Tanya's out.
She's like, hey.
So everyone can have their opinion.
She gets on a flight to London, shows up at your door for the steak.
with a steak, because I actually have some.
You actually have steak.
Okay, well, you know, I like my medium rare.
There'll be different stars in the TV show, I'm assuming, right?
I should imagine there would be, because I don't think they could afford Jeremy Renner. But I think
unless he loved it and he has so much Avengers money, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, well, they kind of fobbed him off on the Bourne films, didn't they? So, you know.
About the Bourne films?
The Bourne films. He did that fourth Bourne movie, and now they've got the other guy back, so, you know.
Mission Impossible.
No, Jason Bourne.
No.
Bourne.
Yeah, but they're bringing back Matt Damon for the next installment.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Well, and Jeremy Renner's not going to be in that one at all?
As far as I can tell,
now. Both of them would be in it.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean,
that last Bourne movie,
yeah. I mean, I think they did a good job for not having Matt Damon in it, though.
Actually, there was some good stuff in it, but the ending was terrible.
Kind of seemed like a TV movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It just seemed more like a TV movie than it did an actual sort of like big budget feature film for me. But another bit of news. Let's see how you feel about this. Warner are actually pushing forward with a monster mashup of Godzilla versus King Kong.
Oh, I think I heard about that. Why? I don't understand. Oh,
why wouldn't? Wait, has that been made before in the past?
The Japanese did. They did one in 1963, and it was directed by Shiro Honda. I'm not sure if I said that right.
I will say that I know there is a huge audience for this, as in my husband will be over the moon excited to watch monsters beating up on each other.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I'm just not a huge movie monster person. Like, that's just not my thing. But yeah, you're right. There are a lot of people that are really going to be excited for this.
Yeah.
I want to see Godzilla versus King Kong the musical.
That'd be
cool.
That'd
be fun.
I go see
Why
that. Why do you
punch me?
Because you are a big lizard.
I'm just a monkey.
Oh, put your tongue away, you dirty git.
Yeah. I haven't even seen the latest. Thing. Yeah, I haven't even seen the latest Godzilla movie because I just can't get that into it.
Yeah, it's just not my cup of tea. But I know.
I would say King Kong. The Peter Jackson King Kong was very good, except for being too long, as all his movies are. But but again, that's different than like a monster mashup movie, right? That's actually a movie where they're trying to tell humanize and tell a story.
Yeah, that might be kind of cool actually, bringing that back, because we have a lot of
Godzilla
superheroes.
King Kong would not be that kind of a movie. It'd be like let's just smash each other up and destroy the world.
It's
specific
grim, but not robots.
I think it'd actually probably work better as a video game than a movie.
I'm sure there will be one, actually.
They did the Godzilla video game this year, and it was total shite. It was really bad.
You get to play as a Godzilla?
But it was really, really bad. The graphics, you know, felt like something out of the 1980s, and the controls weren't that good. It was sort of like
it was like Pac-Man graphics.
Yeah, you probably would have had more fun playing Rampage.
Oh, I was thinking, I loved Rampage when I was a kid.
Yeah, Rampage was awesome. But you would have had more fun playing Rampage than playing this game. I'm glad I didn't buy it. I just think the whole thing of monsters beating stuffing out of each other, it probably worked better as a video game than a movie, because, you know, where's the plot? You know,
that's like Transformers, I suppose, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I've not watched any of the Transformers films since about two. I didn't bother with the last two at all, because I fell asleep about half an hour into the second one. You know, but
nice.
I just can't see, you know, I just think monsters beating each other up. A video game. Unless they're going to do a big budget monster beat 'em up musical, then I go.
For sure.
You know, just to see what sort of songs they come up with, and, you know, how they structure the music and everything.
Yeah, have Joss Whedon write it, be hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, something like it could be the unofficial sequel to Dr. Horrible's, you know, musical thing.
Oh, we just did that news on our show this week that they're planning an official sequel to it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that is awesome.
Yeah, and I think he was planning to do that, you know, before he got involved with Avengers, right? But, you know, he got involved with Avengers and he kind of like put it on hold.
Except now he can like pay everybody, which is great.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to see because the original was awesome.
Yes,
it was. It's science fiction that will blow your mind. This is SFP Now.
Okay, well, got a couple of games that we can play. You know, one's based on one of your games, Jeff. It's called Leave Your Message After the Screams, and what you have to do.
Actually, Nicole came up with that game, though, so I'll give her full credit for that.
Aw, thanks.
So what you guys have to do is, you know, take your favorite character from horror movies and just sort of give us what you think his voicemail would be, or her voicemail. So,
okay.
Who wants to go first?
I should have prepared something.
I can try and go.
What problem is? One of my favorite characters is Ghostface, but he never speaks.
I was going to do Ghostface too. He totally speaks. He calls them on the phone.
Oh, fuck. You're right. I was thinking. But you're right. On the phone, he speaks all the time.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to do.
Oh, good. Well, good. I want to hear Ghostface now.
That's what I was trying to think of what he would say, though. Like,
wait, what? I missed something.
Self reading would be.
Did he say which character?
No, we're going to pick out what character we want.
But it
has to be horror,
character,
right?
Okay. Yeah, they have to be horror characters. So, you know, you can pick whatever ones you want.
Some of the guys, don't you know?
I'll try a Ghostface one. Hello, Sydney. Leave a message after the beep. I can't get very limit.
That's pretty good, though.
So only Sydney will call him? Nobody else?
Yeah, only Sydney.
She's the only one who has his number.
Exactly, because he calls her all the time.
Yeah, who's stalking who here? Okay, Jeff.
All right,
do you want
to go? I'll do Ghostface, too.
Do Ghostface.
Fuck, how do you do the voice, though?
I think if you get closer to your mic.
Sydney.
Oh, that
was
good.
Oh, was it? Oh.
I can't do it at all. Do it again.
Now make Tanya do it again. She's good at it.
Tanya, do it again.
I'm getting closer. I might do this. Hello, Sydney. That wasn't good.
It's been so long since I've seen Scream.
I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
It's like you have to go like deep down in your throat and like, yeah.
That would just be growling though.
That's but it'll work. That you're getting there, too.
So would it be something like?
Oh, go ahead.
Would it be something like? Hello, Sydney. Leave your message after the beep.
So creepy.
I don't even want to go now.
That was
way better.
Yeah, I can't even.
The only thing I thought of in this just right now, and it's not gonna make a lot of sense because I can't do it. But I was thinking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the guy with the chainsaw. He's just like vroom, vroom, and just like revs it up, and that's it. That's just what I do.
What you'd hear all the blood hitting the walls.
Yeah, it'd be pretty nasty. Oh my gosh, that movie. I have a thing about chainsaws, so that would creep me out. If I called and all I heard was a chainsaw, I'd be like, no. Mm-hmm. Not leaving a message.
I'll do
the girl from Blair Witch Project.
Oh my god, you have to think the same thing.
Oh my god, guys, I'm in the forest, and it's really dark, and there's a witch here, and there's snot running down my throat. it's Kleenex, if you get this message. Okay, thanks.
That was awesome. I was thinking, how would you do a Blair Witch one? Stop reading my mind, Jeffrey.
You would, breathe a lot, I think there's someone else on my tent. And it's just, that's it. And it's just, you're, things rustling,
Yeah, I saw in the background starts doing, this or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a chainsaw goes off?
Yeah, then the chainsaw goes off.
Okay. Well, I've got one for you guys. I was thinking of Dracula, you know, but not actually Dracula, more his manservant Renfield, because, you know, Dracula would never answer his own phone, right?
No.
Hello. If you have a message you would like to give for the master, just leave it after the beep. I think I'll get maggot here. There you go.
That's good. That is really freaking good. Damn, did you practice these like every day?
Yeah, he had to practice these.
No, I just hear voices in my head.
You could do one for Gollum with that kind of a voice.
I don't think I could do Gollum. I'd leave that one to Andy Serkis, I think.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, oh my gosh, that was too creepy. I don't like scary movies.
Freaked out now.
Although I have to say, as much as I don't like scary movies, there is one that I do want to see, even though I know I'm gonna regret it, is Crimson Peak. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, when you look at the trailers online or just on the TV, they don't really do it justice, because when we saw some of the footage at Comic-Con, it was terrifying. Like, for me, I was terrified. So it's weird, because I don't know if people are gonna expect how terrifying it is just by seeing the trailers that have surfaced so far on TV, but it's gonna be scary.
I'm not really a big fan of horror movies.
He's like, no.
Because I find them quite predictable and really, really funny.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I find horror films just really, really funny, because, you know, you just know that these teenagers that are going into the woods, all of them are gonna die, and only one's gonna get out alive. And she's going to be forever traumatized until they make the next movie. And she's dumb enough to go into the woods again with another group of teenagers.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's what I like so much about the Scream series, is that, especially that first movie, they called out all of that ridiculousness. Like, you know, if you break all the horror rules, you're going to die. That's what I loved about Scream.
It was great.
Yeah. I think psychological horrors, those are the ones that I can watch. I mean, you know, Stephen King's It, although the miniseries wasn't necessarily anywhere near as good or as frightening as the book, there was quite a lot of psychological horror going on in there. As in, you know, it really built on your anticipation to the point where you got to the second episode, you was really disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the first episode of that miniseries was actually more frightening than the second in a lot of ways, because you was kind of scaring yourself as you was watching it. Mm-hmm. Sort of
thing. Absolutely.
You know? But, you know, it's just the slasher horrors and stuff like that. I just find them hilarious. You know, my sister, you know, wanted me to go see The Woman in Black with her a few years back, with Daniel Radcliffe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I sat through it and thought, okay, is this meant to be scary? It was like one of those. And my sister was so like, kind of a little bit frightened by it. And I thought, why? It's a film.
Well, that's what I love so much about the Blair Witch Project. It was one of the first of the whole found footage thing, but you never actually saw what was going on. And that's why I think that movie was so terrifying. Like, at the end, when the camera just kind of whirls around as it falls to the ground and you see the guy standing in the corner with the handprints all over the wall, you're like, oh, God. That's why I love that movie so much, because it went against all of that. And then, of course, launched the whole found footage horror film thing to everyone.
Yeah.
But
I never know, Tanya, that you were such a big fan like I am of that movie.
I love that movie. Terrifies me.
And I actually am friends with like one of the directors of it.
What? Oh my God, I want to talk to them.
Oh, you know, so we've had Eduardo Sanchez on our show, but you haven't, we're in a co-host yet, so we'll have to have him back.
Mm.
Oh my God,
yeah.
I have so many questions.
but yeah, you know, and because they did such a good job with that movie, and this, again, keep in mind, this is probably one of the first movies that really used the internet to, like, create a huge buzz about it, and for me, they really, I went in thinking that this was actual real footage, because they did such a good job of, like, making it seem that way online,
and
I don't know.
And also having the actors say nothing, like, they couldn't do anything before that film.
Yeah, so, like, because of that, I was so fucking terrified after that movie. I was like, I think it's set in West Virginia, I was like, I'm never going to West Virginia. Virginia. and I was actually like checking under my bed in the closet that night. Like, I was like freaked out by that movie.
I must have been in my, I saw it at a theater in near my hometown, and I was driving my cousin back to my family farm, and we were like halfway there. And she's like, actually, can I just sleep over at your place? Because she was going to a farmhouse by herself that has a basement that looks a lot like that basement they end up at the end of the movie. And she was like, I can't be there by myself. And I'm like, absolutely, we will sleep like in the same room.
With the lights on.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, they did such a great job. I love that film.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys ready for our final game here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this one's called Alternate Endings, and basically you can pick a movie, any movie you like, doesn't have to be a horror movie, and you make up an alternate ending to it.
Oh, I thought it had to be horror.
It doesn't necessarily have to be horror. You can actually make it end on a horrific note if you want to, or...
I like that.
Now I gotta think, because I was going on a horror movie.
You know what? This just came to me. I think I can do this. Can I? I'll take a Disney movie and then do like a horror ending kind of a thing. Maybe I'll try.
Cool.
I'm not good with horror stuff, but so maybe I can take, because we're just picking a movie and changing the ending, right?
Yeah, that's all you do.
Okay, so I think I'm gonna pick Cinderella, and you know, in the end, how she gets married to the prince, and they kind of wave, and then that's like happily ever after. Well, I'm wondering if, like, maybe actually what happens is the palace is like a horror chamber, just like, you know, she goes in and she basically is like sentenced to the dungeon, and there's like, she's basically, I mean, it's just like a house of horrors that she, so it's, you think it's like happily ever after, but it's more of like a wink, because it's not really happily ever after. It's actually almost worse than where she started. And the prince is actually just like, I don't know if he would maybe have been like teamed up with that stepmom to begin with, where he's just like this crazy psychopath that she kind of hires, and it's just this like crazy, like you would have to be like super psycho to have this elaborate scheme to make someone's life a living hell. And I think that the stepmom would really do that. And so she basically sells off Cinderella to this psychopath. Maybe is kind of even like a what's that guy's name? Why am I forgetting? Eat the brains.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, Hannibal Lecter. Like, it would just, or I mean, I could just imagine it going so many ways.
Nicole, you're dark and twisted.
I know. That was really disturbing.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were supposed to do disturbing.
It's almost sounding like 50 Shades of Cinderella.
Yeah, that's going into a weird Christian Grey type of thing right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just didn't know, like, that's all I could think
don't
of.
Don't apologize.
Nicole's always so sweet. Yeah, I don't like this dark side of Nicole.
It's like, well, she, you know, all of a sudden lets out the dark side just every once in a while. It just, like, squeaks out in between rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Because you're right. I really don't, and I don't like scary movies, but I've always wanted to be part of a scary movie. So... But I think that would be fun. And maybe that would also help me, like, get outside of, like, the creep factor of scary movies, is if I'm part of one. So
the who? Creep factor?
The creep factor.
Oh, I thought you said the crepe. Like, what eating crepes have to do with...
Well, you know what? I actually had this nightmare, and now I can't...
About a crepe?
No, not about crepe, but about something twisted. And I wish I'd written it down, because it was... like an idea for like a movie, like a horror movie, but it was kind of how like a Final Destination kind of a thing. And I just remember it being like, oh, do you want me to tell you? It's like really creepy. It's really scary. Okay, so.
Unless it's gonna like give you nightmares again. Then
no, it won't. It's just gonna sound really disgusting coming from me, but this was like a horrible like nightmare that I had. So this person, kind of like, I don't know exactly how he came into this, like, under a spell, and basically this, like, witch or demon or whatever convinced him that being in pain is pleasurable. So this guy is, like, basically impaling himself over and over and over again because his mind is telling him that it's good. And this was just, like, it's gross, right? And that was a nightmare that I had. And I was like, oh, this would make a great film. And then I was like, ugh, don't think about it. I can't write that. I'm just saying that's like, you know, gross.
Mm-hmm.
I think mine aside from Nicole's twistedness of Cinderella, is The Sixth Sense. And it's not really a different ending, because that movie also really creeped me out. Like, there's still times that I can't watch some scenes of that film.
And I have to always
bed. Oh gosh, yeah. Every time he sees dead people,
I see dead people.
Yeah, every time he actually sees them, it launches into a musical number.
That's good.
Like, full-out tap dance, like, with, like, the canes and, you know, whatever. That's absolute Broadway. And then when it does... Come on, that would be amazing.
Somebody, we gotta make that, like, parody of that.
Oh my gosh, so funny. I wish I thought of that.
Well, it's because I'm an actual, like, horror movie... Like, I like horror movies, so maybe that's why, like, my horror movie stuff is like, well, I've already seen all the crazy stuff, so maybe then it'll be a musical.
I like that.
Okay, for mine, I'm going to take Return of the Jedi, which is my favorite movie of all time. And at the end of Return of the Jedi, when they're all on the Endor moon and they're all celebrating after the destruction of the second Death Star, you know, it's all great. And they're celebrating with the Ewoks and everybody's having a grand old time. Suddenly, the Ewoks all turn on them and take them all out. And then they also go up and take over all the Empire's, like, ships that are left and the Rebels. And the Ewoks, with C-3PO as the Emperor, since they worship C-3PO, become the ruling force of the galaxy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but then the galaxy is being ruled by cute teddy bears.
Well, but that's good, I think, because it'll be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you've read the latest...
Only I have the creepy ending. Great.
Well, if you read the latest comics, the Ewoks are actually cannibals.
Oh.
What comics?
The new Star Wars comics have released, I think they've done two comic books of it so far, two issues. And it's kind of like a prequel to sort of like The Force Awakens. And it starts off from right where Return of the Jedi left off.
So wait, somebody told me that. That's actually true. Like, this is the official Star Wars comics.
Yep, it's an official tie-in to the new movie.
And they made the Ewoks cannibals.
They made the Ewoks cannibals, yeah.
I will never read any of those comics. That's
not happening.
Ewoks are some of my favorite things, and that's just disgusting.
Yeah, and I think in the comic, they're actually eating the leftover remains of stormtroopers.
I mean, well, I guess technically that does fit, though, because they were going to roast, like, Han and Luke over the fire, right?
They were, yeah.
So I guess that's supposed to be sort of like animals, kind of, right? So they're probably...
They are animals, yeah. But by cannibals, they're not eating each other, right? They're just eating...
They're carnivores.
They're carnivores, right?
Yeah, they're not eating each other.
That's different than us, like, killing an animal.
Yeah. Eating a cow, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to admit, I kind of want to eat an Ewok.
No, stop.
All right, now I'm leaving the show.
About Disney or something.
Yeah.
Well, I offended myself, so I'll just kick myself off the show.
Okay, well, I didn't really prepare one, but I've got one that I want to do, if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah.
This is a film that I really, really, really hate. For various reasons, not least of which, an ex-girlfriend of mine must have had it on about 57 different times, and I was forced to endure it. You're familiar with Dirty Dancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that movie's so good, though!
I love Dirty Dancing. I carried a watermelon.
Okay, well, I'm going to take it from the ending.
We're going to put you in the corner, Ian.
I'm going to take it from the ending, and it's a part where Johnny and he hooks up with Baby, and he goes, you know, you never put Baby in a corner. And, you know, her father, I think, is played by Nane Smith, wasn't he?
Jerry Orbach.
Her father looks really, really sternly over at Johnny, which is sort of like seems to be his one expression. And all of a sudden, his chest sort of like begins to sort of like wibble wobble sort of thing, and this sort of like face hugger bursts out of his chest. And Johnny ducks, and it hits Baby right in the face. And then all the people come in, and you know, the zombified corpse of Jimi Hendrix comes in and starts playing guitar. Michael Jackson sort of like comes in out of the floorboards, and a chainsaw bursts out of his crotch. And you know, And it's just like a massive massacre, and baby manages to get the face hugger off her face, only it's sort of like it's kind of like removed her nose, which kind of was pretty gross. And she goes, "You know, nobody puts baby in a corner."
Yeah.
So there you go, the end.
You are a sick man.
Oh my god. That is ridiculous. Okay, so I thought I was crazy. That's like way worse, I think. Right?
Kind of? Yeah, no, Nicole looks normal now.
Yeah, Nicole looks normal.
It's taken me years to get this twisted, folks, you know. Years and years of practice.
Oh my god.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you all for joining me on the show.
Thank you.
It's been great having you on.
Before we go, could we just tell people they can check out our show if they'd like at supergeekedup.com or actually right on your site as well, right, Ian?
They can. You know, in actual fact, they can check out all the great shows we have here on the League of Geeks network on Blog Talk Radio. We've got Super Geeked Up, we have SFP Now, and we also have Genretainment. So they're all great shows, so you should all check them out and listen. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/League of Geeks.
Is it
the League of Geeks or League of Geeks? The URL.
League of Geeks.
It's League of Geeks, okay. Anyway, thanks for joining me. It's been great having you on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
We'll do.